It's important that your children learn what they can do with money early in life, so they'll apply the lessons learned at home as they face the real world in future years.
Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Recently, a bunch of things have happened which got me thinking. Jack's teacher at school was teaching about loans and bonds, and a wholesaler at one of the mutual fund companies introduced me to a program they're promoting called Raising Financially Aware Kids. And finally, a friend called and said he wanted to open up an account for his 11-year-old boy. Apparently, the boy was asking about investing in some stocks. So it got me thinking. Because my boys are 10 and 8 right now, and we're trying to teach them responsibility with money. We've been strongly encouraging saving, and while we're doing monthly investing for them for college as well as adding to mutual fund accounts, they've never been involved in any of that. And if you want to learn more about my own personal financial plan, check out Finding True Wealth episode 26. Now, in my experience, younger kids, they just don't understand the concept of a mutual fund or ETF. But I do think that they can understand the idea of investing in a company or a stock, especially if it's a company that they know about, a company whose product or service that they love and use a lot. So over the past couple months, I've asked the boys to tell me about their favorite companies. We came up with separate lists, and they named companies like Apple and Google, Amazon, Nike, eBay, but there are also some that I didn't really expect them to list, such as Delta Airlines and Costco. So at least now when I tell them that we're going to Costco, they do not have the right to complain, because I'm going to remind them that Costco is one of their favorite companies. It was a fun and interesting exercise to go through, and ultimately we needed to narrow the list down to pick their three favorite companies, which actually proved to be pretty difficult for them. And I have an important disclosure here. Any company listed is not a recommendation or solicitation to purchase. They're provided for illustration purposes only. We're going to set up accounts so they can invest in some of their favorite companies. So I wanted to move their entire bank accounts because obviously the bank account is earning close to nothing, and brokerage accounts, the sky's the limit, right? But mom said no, so therefore we settled on transferring $300 each from their own bank account into their own brokerage accounts. So we set up these brokerage accounts as UGMA, which stands for Uniform Gift to Minor Act, which allows the parent to be the custodian, the child is the account owner. And it's an irrevocable gift, so it's always the kid's money no matter what. So we set up the accounts, we set them up with their own login on TD Ameritrade AdvisorClient.com, and we even downloaded the Advisor Client app on their little iPads. And once the accounts were funded, I showed each kid how to place the trades in their account, and I let them actually click the send order button, and it was pretty cool. They really enjoyed the experience, especially Jack, who's 8 years old. After he clicked submit order, he's like, "Dad, I own one share of XYZ company." Really, really excited. So it's only been a few days since we've done this and actually placed the orders, but they're constantly checking their Advisor Client app, even on the weekends when the market's closed. Between Friday night and Sunday night, I must have told Jack 5 times that his account value is not changing because the market is closed, so don't even try. And I hope to teach them a healthy habit is to not look every day, but it's only been a couple days, so I'm not too worried just yet. But at this point, Jack is up $12, and he's already formulating his plan and his strategy on how he's going to add more money to his account, which is music to my ears. So with our little investment experiment, I can say so far at least one lesson has been learned. It's good to let your money work for you. I always tell people, no lazy money. Let your money work for you. And I think that these kids are starting to learn that lesson. You know, these boys are used to earning a quarter at a time for doing chores and actually having to do the work. So I'm trying to make a big deal about the fact that, hey, look, you know, your account is up $3 today and you didn't even have to lift a finger. Your money is working for you. I feel like if we can teach them just this one lesson, we're on the right track. James Stowers, the founder of American Century Investments, is quoted as saying, "It is important that your children learn what they can do with money early in life, so they will apply the lessons learned at home as they face the real world in future years." And I could not agree more. 100% agreed. We use the same philosophy parenting at home in all areas. Let the children learn the tough lesson as a child, where there are no real consequences, so they can learn from it, and when they get out of the house and they're on their own, they can make good decisions without mom or dad there. They can just hear our voice when we're not there to know what the good decision is. Now, according to American Century, 88% of high school students learned what they know about money from their parents. They just don't teach this kind of stuff in school, so it is up to us, the parents and grandparents, to teach the proper lessons about money. That goes for saving, investing, and debt. You are the CFP, the chief financial parent. And in your role as the CFP, think about what your parents taught you about money, the good and the bad. Maybe they had good habits or they had bad habits. And how have their beliefs about money shaped your beliefs today? And do you have the same beliefs, or did you rebel against your parents' beliefs? And now picture your children and think about how you are impressing your beliefs about money on them every day. They're watching and they're listening every day. When I was a kid, I was a pretty good saver, and I would always be putting money in my savings account at the bank. And then one day I was looking at my statement and I asked Mom, why am I only earning a nickel in interest each month? Doesn't seem like very much. And she said, "Well, I think it's about time for you to open up your own investment account." So when I was about 15, that's what we did. And I saved enough so by the time I was 16, I could pay cash for my own car. And that was a $2,500 1988 Ford Mustang. 4 cylinders, rear wheel drive. And I promptly crashed that on the first snow. I want my kids to be motivated to have their own car at 16 as well. And I see kids today not interested in getting their license. They're not interested in driving. And they're saying, "Well, I don't need one. My mom will drive me wherever I want to go." It just doesn't make sense to me. I remember when I turned 16, I was in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles or the Secretary of State at 8 a.m. on my 16th birthday before they opened. I remember this because I was first in line. And we've told our boys when they turn 16 and when they want to buy a car that we will match them 100% toward the purchase. In other words, if they have $1,000 for the car, we'll give them $1,000, and so they'll have $2,000. So it's proven to be very motivating. They understand the concept of the 100% return on investment. It's been a big motivator, and it's helping us teach them what an ROI means. So they're doing a great job saving. At this point, though, I'm starting to worry about how much this matching contribution is really going to cost us. Now, as an entrepreneur, I think that we can also do a better job cultivating that entrepreneurial spirit in our children. You know, have them think about how they could create a business rather than just thinking about getting a job. And one of the chores for our boys and for me is to take back the cans. So for those of you in Michigan, you know exactly what I mean. But for those of you out of state, in Michigan, we have a 10-cent can and bottle refund. So mommy drinks a lot of Diet Pepsi, and I mean a lot. So this means we can take back a lot of cans, and 500 cans is $50. So it's a lot of work, a lot of time, but we always split the money up. The boys get to keep the money that they feed into the machine. So it ends up being a pretty good hourly rate for them. And then part of the ritual is taking the money from the grocery store to the bank, and we make a deposit on Saturday morning. So I always make a big deal about this ritual, allow them to fill out the deposit slip, allow them to walk up to the teller and wait in line and do it on their own and make their deposit. And on our last trip, we were talking about how the boys could create a business taking back other people's cans. So perhaps we can put together flyers and come up with a company name and stuff the flyers in mailboxes. We can offer to take their cans back, and maybe we split it 50-50. The homeowner keeps half and we get half. Or perhaps they'll just donate their cans. I was playing devil's advocate and asked the kids, well, who's going to take you to the store to take back the cans? Who's going to help you pick up the cans at the person's house? And the kids are like, Dad, you know, you're going to drive us, right? And I'm telling them, well, hey, my time is valuable. We're putting miles on the car. We're burning some gas. You know, surely I'll get a cut of the action, right? And it was just fun to go back and forth thinking about how we could structure a business and how there's so many different things and moving parts that really that they weren't ready to consider at all. But if we can have more conversations like this, I think that maybe it will help them understand and how to think like a business owner. Parenting is no easy chore. Sometimes it might seem like talking about money is too hard for younger kids to understand, but they are watching and listening to see how you handle your money. So try to be a great role model as the CFP, the chief financial parent. Your children will thank you someday. And if you have $500,000 in your portfolio and you're wondering if you're on track to reach your retirement or college funding goals, reach out to Peak for a second opinion. You can apply for an appointment on peakwm.com or reach out to me directly at nick@peakwm.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to go back to episode 1 and start from the beginning. And also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any future editions. Thanks. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a State of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.